The next part of becoming an investor is learning how to invest in real estate. I have to tell you that this is a part that both Sharon and I have a lot of personal excitement around. That is truly what Rich Dad's philosophy is: build a business, invest in real estate. So we're going to study some of the ways that real estate can work and how you can make use of good debt leverage to greatly enhance your own position.
Let's enter the world of real estate. In addition to being one of Rich Dad's trusted advisors, Diane has an awful lot to offer us on the subject of real estate. Diane purchased her first investment property before the age of 25. Since then, she's had over 100 properties. Diane?
Thank you, Sharon. Let me tell you, though, real estate is absolutely something I'm passionate about. I know that at richdad.com, you frequently get the question, why are you always talking about real estate? Robert talks about it all the time. Rich Dad frequently talked about it. And the reason is because real estate works. It's a wonderful way to gain a portfolio of wealth quickly. And there's three major reasons why it works. We're going to go through that briefly and then get into how you can do this. But mainly what happens with real estate is you're able to leverage. There's tax considerations. There's some wonderful tax laws that have been written to help real estate investors. And third, you have the joys of built-in appreciation. Let's go through those just real quickly. One, you have the ability to leverage. Well, what does that mean? Let's say you go down to the bank down the corner, and we'll just call it Bank of Your Town, and you walk into Bank of Your Town and say, I want to borrow $100,000 to buy this rental property. And they are likely to say, okay, if the numbers work. So with $10,000 down, they come up with the money. You now have somebody else's money. By the way, if you go down to Bank of Your Town and ask for $100,000 to buy $100,000 worth of their company stock, even if you show up with the prospectus that they prepared, they're likely to laugh you out of the bank. The bank's not going to give you a loan on their own stock, but they will give you loans on real estate. Why is that? Real estate is real. Everybody understands that.
Tangible.
It's tangible, exactly. And so because you have this ease of getting other people's money involved, you have what's called leverage. Secondly, there's some wonderful tax considerations. We have some wonderful text written on this in the Learn It section of this program. But just to recap, under current tax law, your principal residence, that if you live in it for over 2 years, for a married couple, you can exclude from gain $500,000 in capital gains. If you're single, that amount is $250,000. That is probably the biggest gift Congress has ever given us. In other words, you just have to live in the house for 2 years. It goes up in value. You get money tax-free.
But we just said that a house was not an asset.
That's exactly right, because it's not an asset until you sell it. But you get to sell it and take that gain, that money, tax-free.
So even if it's not an asset, it's considered a secured piece of property that you have and it could increase in value.
Absolutely. And because of the tax laws, it's a great deal, too. Secondly, you have this joy of what's called depreciation. Now, the whole theory on depreciation is that a building is going to depreciate or deteriorate over time. And that's true. Anyone who's ever owned a house knows that you need to constantly be fixing it up. Things don't get better with time. They get worse with time left alone. You have to paint. You have to fix this. You have to fix that. So there is something in the tax law called depreciation. You get to depreciate on paper your property. So it's as if the property is constantly spinning off a little loss. But what is the reality? The reality is that worldwide, over time, there's tremendous appreciation of property. So we see here the economic reality is the property goes up in value, but according to the tax laws, it's going down in value.
So you get the best of both worlds?
Exactly. You get the best of both worlds. And that's what we refer to as paper losses that can occur.
Do they also call those phantom losses?
Exactly. So those are losses that you might get to take on your tax return or be able to deduct from income, and you didn't really have to pay any money for it.
And I think you spoke about that earlier, about the 86 Tax Reform Act, how sometimes those were overused.
That's exactly right. And actually, that's a little bit of a caution here. What has happened since the 86 Tax Reform Act is if, when you add in depreciation, you end up with an overall loss on a property, that loss is limited to $25,000 per year unless you are considered a high-income person, and then you might not have any loss at all. One exception, you'll find the details of this in the text at page 3-106. Make careful note on what it takes to be considered a real estate professional.